It's been a long time. Been a long time. Been a long, lonely, 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 lonely time.
Some things are better when they rock. Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos. Play 24-7 with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Been a long time since you rock and rolled? Visit us in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida, or online at SeminoleHardRock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Time now for your coolest conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. And please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Andreas Axelsson, frontman and one of the guitarists in the Swedish band Sweet Teeth. Their debut release is an EP called Acid Rain, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, My Heart is Big and Broken. We'll hear a bit of that now, followed by my chat with Andreas on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Manfred here, and it is time now for your Friday's coolest conversations. My guest today is Andreas Axelsson, lead singer and one of the guitarists in Sweet Teeth from Finspång, Sweden. How are you, Andreas?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am hanging in there pretty well. I'm very happy to have you joining me today. So, Finspång, are you in Finspång right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, a lot of lakes there.
It's about 300 or something.
300.
So I think we have the most lakes in the whole of Sweden, or so I've heard.
So since a lot of folks may not over here may not be aware of exactly where it is, can you tell us? I mean, it's like maybe southwest of Stockholm.
Yeah, about 2 hours in a car, you know.
2 hours. And so when I come to visit you there, what's the first thing you want to show me? What's the most Finspång thing of all?
That would be like going to a sleazy pizzeria and drink beer. Or maybe our rehearsal spot. It's been there since 1985, so there's been a lot of music being recorded and rehearsed there. So maybe that's the one thing.
That's where I'm headed. So you were from there? Did you grow up there?
Yeah. You know, a regular working guy, just went through school and started to work when I was 16. So it's, I mean, Finspång is pretty much that kind of town, a worker's town.
Well, give me an idea. You talk about it being a worker's town and being a regular working guy. What kind of work?
For myself, I'm a painter. I paint houses and so on. And the folks here in Sweden or in Finspång, we end up at a steel mill, but it's with aluminum instead, you know, like maybe like Birmingham or something like that.
Yeah.
So that keeps this small town afloat, I should say.
You've had this rehearsal space for a long time. I'm thinking about that. Tell me about, we know you sing and play guitar. When did you start to play?
Maybe when I was 12 or something. And when I was about 17 or 18, I realized I could do songs. And then I didn't evolve after that at all. I can't get away with this. I've never been the guy sitting at home and practicing my instrument. I just realized if I could do a song, that's what I want to do.
Well, why did you start writing songs? What got you into playing guitar even?
Well, you know, music. Sweden is good at with music, you know. So, when I mean, first love was probably Beatles, then maybe ABBA and various punk bands and Kiss and stuff like that. And I just wanted to do what they did, but on a smaller scale, maybe.
A more intimate scale.
Yeah, exactly. A more independent scale.
Absolutely. Well, do you have any other brothers or sisters, or was your parents, did they play any music?
My dad plays some music. He played the drums when I was, actually he didn't play when I was young, but before he had me, he played some drums and he sang. And my sister doesn't play anything. So it's me and my dad. He still plays though.
Oh, great. Do you ever play together?
Yeah, sometimes. He's really into Bruce Springsteen, you know, so we often do a duet of No Surrender.
Oh, well, cool. Well, you know, your dad would enjoy listening to the Underground Garage then.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to tell him about this afterwards and he's going to freak out.
Very cool. So I was, you know, reading some press stuff about you guys, and it was saying that either you or your current bandmates had played in a bunch of other Swedish groups before or over the years, like the Deadbeats, the Dollhouse, the Don't Cares, You're the Goat. Now, those bands, I have to be honest, I'm not familiar with. I do really love the names, though, like Year of the Goat, Don't Cares. So which of those groups were you in, and what were they like?
I was in the Deadbeats and the Don't Cares. And I mean, the Deadbeats was probably close to the Helicopters. Mm-hmm. And the Don't Cares was more like Seek, you know, Seek, really fast American punk rock band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, like Motorhead, but real a lot faster.
Wow. Okay. So what? So tell me. You started playing. You said you went around when you were around 12. What? And then you realized, hey, I can write songs. Yeah. Is what I want to do. When was your very first band?
Probably when I was. I mean, you have those bands that you have in your boy room, you know?
Yeah.
But and we were probably 12 by then, but we didn't know how to play our instrument really. But maybe when I was in a band that actually did shows and stuff, maybe it was about, could have been 16, 17.
Yeah, yeah. Do you recall what the name was? What'd you call yourselves?
Yeah, it was called FZO.
Say again? What was it called?
F Z U. It's like F and F and a C and a U. It's only I only think we have that in Sweden. It's like an O with two dots over it, like Motorhead.
What does that mean? Anything in particular?
Oh, it meant a lot of stupid things, you know, when you're 16. So that was the first band, and it was kind of a hardcore band, like early, maybe like a Fast Descendant or something like that. So it was, you know, we were really into fast hardcore music like DRI or Cryptic Slaughter and stuff like that.
Well, tell me some about how or when and how did you and the guys in Sweet Teeth get together and form?
I think it says in the biography or whatever it is that we've known each other for like forever. But I would say about 2 years ago.
Okay.
I think a guitarist told me that it was like 2 years ago we did our first gig. So maybe we can start from that, because it was me and the drummer only. Did some demos before that, just for fun, you know, as we do now. But it's like 2 years from now, maybe we were a real band who rehearsed and played shows.
And so these other guys, you've known each other for a long time. And so when you brought them into that practice space, the famous practice space, they'd all been there before.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was like, and our songs are no-brain songs, you know. And we always wanted to keep it that way. Just really, really simple and really no extra anything, you know. If it's, it doesn't need a solo always, I think.
Yeah.
So we, so they turned out pretty short. And maybe now when we've done this for a couple of years, they are getting a bit longer, but we always, we try not to put stuff there that doesn't belong there, you know?
Right, right. Well, when did you guys record this debut EP, Acid Rain?
I think it also was 2 years ago. I'm not sure. We did a demo and then we weren't super satisfied with the sound because we put fuss on everything. So we tried it again and did a couple of new songs. I know Acid Rain was one of them. We did that in a studio. And then recorded 8 other songs. And we thought that maybe we could fish around for a label with that. And when the label contacted us, they said they wanted to release it. And it has a good sound, so why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it originally, it's a demo.
Well, my notes said that it was produced by Yona. You have to help me out here with the last name. Yona.
Yeah.
Hassan.
Jonah Hassan.
Well, tell me about him. Had you worked with him before?
Yeah, I think we recorded another album there with a hardcore band we were in also. And we met each other through the years. And he also worked at a lot of places in Stockholm as a sound engineer, so and also a booker. So we knew him from before, and recording with him is really easy because, you know, just do your thing and I'll fix it. You know. So and he had a girlfriend from around here, and they decided to move here. So he has the studio here. And then we recorded that, and they got evicted out of that because of some builder's contract, I think. And now he's building a new studio at his home. So we'll see what happens with that.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Now, there are 7 tunes on the EP, and I was going to ask you if these were the first songs you came up, you know, as a band, or if any of these you had worked up originally with other groups, but you mentioned having some worked up with a drummer, some demos. What's the history of the songs? Are they all newer songs that you've come up with, or do they have some history as being from a couple of years ago or from other groups, other projects?
Not from other projects, but I know the first song, Shattered Glass Face.
Yeah.
I think that's the first song me and the drummer did, but with the intention of what became this band, you know?
Right.
So, and the other songs are more or less us four guys being in the rehearsal room, just pumping out riffs, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, we already have an album ready that we have recorded and everything that has 2 earlier songs on it. So I think it was important for us to just do our thing, all 4 of us together.
And this album that you just mentioned, do you have an idea of when that will be released?
It's all up to the pressing plans, I think. Because I've heard there's like long, long queues for that now. So it was supposed to be released this autumn, but I don't know about that now. Maybe early spring. Let's hope about that. We just still have to master it and some final touches on the cover, and then it's ready to go.
And I think just to bring people up to speed that are listening to that, when we're talking about there being a backlog or backup with the pressing plans, we're talking specifically about vinyl, wanting to get things out on vinyl now.
Yeah.
Everything is backed up for a number of months, right?
Yeah, I think our EP is just released on vinyl. So I think we had a bit of luck when we got that pressed.
I want us to talk about your coolest song in the world, and it is called My Heart is Big and Broken.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you familiar? I don't know if you were familiar with over here in the U.S., there's these like children's stories, Dr. Seuss and the Grinch Who Stole Christmas is one of them. Dr. Seuss is the author. And do you know the story, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas?
Yeah, I know the story.
Right. Well, you know, the Grinch's heart was like two sizes too small, and then it grew three sizes in one day. And so then he had this extra big heart.
Oh.
right? So, right. He has a happy ending there. And I was wondering, well, like, how big is your heart, Andreas? Is it like three sizes big, too big? I mean, is it like a really big heart? And if it is a really big heart, or a really big heart's more likely to get broken?
I guess. I don't know. I stole the title from an Instagram feed from Phoebe Bridgers.
From who?
Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Oh, well, cool. All right.
Yeah. And the whole song is about a kick in the balls to Ryan Adams, actually.
Oh man, I see. I hear that. You know your song, "Her" on the EP has got my favorite lyric line in there, where you say, "Killing time is what I'm all about," and listening to it also just reminded me of how great the lyrics, you know, for all your tunes are. Do you ever write with Swedish lyrics?
No, I think I tried it once for a fun project some time back, but it doesn't work for me.
Why?
And I just don't know. It sounds stupid. It sounds too honest, or I just don't get the words right, you know. And I'm you know, grown up on American music, so I guess that's always the way it's going to be. So
when did you learn English?
Yes, first grade or something. I was really interested. Thank God I didn't know what Kiss sang about when I was 6 years old. But I really loved the language, and early on I wanted to write in English. So I guess it was one of the majors I was good in, was like the arts and English was the two things I was good at in school. So
I was wondering, you know, there's a lot of great Swedish rock and roll related things. We were talking about mentioning things from or pop things from ABBA to the Helicopters. But in Sweden, there must be Swedish groups that perform and sing in Swedish. Are there?
Yes.
There must be, right?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
But I think some of them are really cool, because you have to be really, for me, you have to be really careful with what words you use in Swedish, because of it not coming out like it's, oh, how do you say this? So it doesn't sound corny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but there's a couple of bands that I really like Tusen Ögon, so Thousand Eyes, and Volna Inget. I don't know what that means really in the English, but and Hurula, it's the name of a guy who also sings in very heavy lyrics, but in Swedish.
Well, cool. I was trying to think of different Swedish bands that I was familiar with, but instead, let me ask you this. You know, we can only listen to two tracks off the EP today, and so we've already heard My Heart is Big and Broken, and the other cut I want us to take a listen to in a moment and go out on is the title track to the EP, Acid Rain. And so here we are, you know, in the midst of the world's overall climate crisis, and haven't heard as much about Acid Rain as we once did, given, I mean, everything else that's going on, but still, you know, Acid Rain, really powerful imagery with that in your song. Can you tell us some about how that tune came together?
I had like this one, maybe I have two riffs when we were in the studio, and me and the drummer was just fooling around with it. And we thought it needed like a bridge. And we just made that up in like 10 seconds, and then we recorded the song. So, and that's often how the song is composed with us. We don't overthink stuff, and we discard a lot of music also. So for music-wise, it was just like spur of the moment, and everybody seems to love it. So there you go.
Well, are you then the primary songwriter? I mean, you come up with the ideas initially, or is it more collaborative?
I would say that I do a lot of riffs, but it's all of us in the rehearsal room later on. So everybody gets a say, and everybody says, oh, that's too long, or that sucks, or whatever. And we discard it. So we all of us have to stand behind this, you know. So I would say it's a group effort, but maybe I'm good at doing a lot of riffs.
Very cool. Do you have any plans to come to the US?
Oh man, we would love to, but seems like it's a bit of a hassle to come there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I've heard stories that man, when people can't come in when they're supposed to play and everything.
Right. Well, of course, now, right at this moment, it's things are pretty difficult in general, I suppose. But going forward, if things are in a better state, let's say a year from now, hopefully we can see you guys perform over here.
Yeah, but hopefully, of course, we want to. I haven't been, man. I have been to New York and Philadelphia on vacation when I was younger, but I haven't played in the US, so I guess that's on the bucket list.
So how old were you when you came to the States?
I think 17.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot of shopping around for, I think, Anthrax t-shirts was my main thing at the moment.
Well, so I know that you grew up in listening to a lot of, you know, rock and roll stuff, and we talked about, you know, English and rock and roll. With the U.S., there's a lot of pop culture sort of pervasive. Were there any like television shows, American television shows that you really loved when you were growing up?
I'm really bad at TV, but I think apart from The Simpsons and stuff like that, I haven't watched much.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who starts to watch the series, and even though I think it's good, I just lose interest.
Right.
So I can watch maybe two or three episodes, and then I'm off, you know. But I don't know, when you were a teenager, maybe it was like Beverly Hills, what was it called?
90210.
Maybe.
Something like that. Me, too, you know, I watched the Beverly Hillbillies, so.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so. 909901, man, I, you know, it's like I happen to live here, but I didn't grow up watching that, you know, so I can't get the name of it right for some reason. It's like it's a zip code, you know.
I know there was something that was on in the background. I can't remember. Always on TV, always. But when I was really, really young, it must have been some kind of replay, of course, but the one with Fonzie and Days of Our Lives.
Happy Days.
Yeah.
Happy Days.
Yeah, I remember that.
Hey.
And also, yay.
Well, Andreas, I'm going to have to, I got to wrap us up here. And I thank you for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, thank you.
I look forward to coming over one day, spending some time there with you in Finn's Pond, and going to the pizzeria, having a couple of beers, and checking out the practice space, rehearsal space.
Of course. You're very, 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 very welcome.
Thanks. All right. Here is the title track off their debut EP, Acid Rain. It's Sweet Teeth in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Some of the title track to their debut EP, Acid Rain. That was Sweet Teeth here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's frontman, Andreas Axelson, for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. And join me next time around for a very special interview with Pearl Jam's lead singer, Eddie Vedder. He's got a new single out now, and a lot of material on the soundtrack to the Sean Penn movie, Flag Day. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.